Oh, somebody did that for me. Thank you.
Okay, I have 5 o'clock. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Stacy.
Good evening. Karen Bounds.
Here.
Loretta Broomfield. Stacy Carter. I see Stacy. Ann Chandler.
Here.
Jenna Griffith.
Here.
Ryan Johnson.
Here.
Kevin Kelsey.
He was here. I think you'll get back in.
Okay. Tammy Kraus.
Here.
Linda McDonald.
Here.
Chastity Mays. Zach Newell.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Here.
Kelly Sullivan.
Here.
Okay. How about our IHLS staff at Carbondale?
Casey Parr.
Roy Brown.
Ellen Poppett.
And Champagne.
Dr. Pamela Thomas.
And how about Edwardsville?
Leslie Bednar.
Stacy Blishon.
Shandy Grieve-Penrod.
Leah Gregory.
Rhonda Jonassy.
Cassandra Thompson.
Jill Trevino.
Shirley Payden.
Okay. And how about the folks from the Illinois State Library?
Pat Berg, Illinois State Library.
I think Rita's here, but she just muted herself. So we'll go with Rita Stevens, also from the Illinois State Library. Okay, we'll do things a little bit different tonight.
This
welcome.
Is Loretta. I'm here just a little bit late. Sorry.
Thank you, Loretta. Welcome our two new board members, Kevin Kelsey and Linda McDonald. And our returning board members, myself, Karen Bounds, and Loretta Broomfield. Linda, Kevin, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hello, everybody. It's so nice to be part of this board. I am right now in Granite City. We had a lot of rain, but we haven't floated away. But it kind of gave me remembrances of Noah's flood a little bit. But anyway, I am a trustee in Granite City, which is the 6 Mile Regional Library District and the 6 Mile Regional Library. And I am president of that board and with Tina Hubert, and just a wonderful person, wonderful director. So I can kind of go on, but I'll stop right there. It's so nice to be here with you.
Hey, I'm Kevin Kelsey. I'm from Mahomet, Illinois. I'm on the Mahomet District Board. I'm vice president of our board. Our director is John Howard, and I love our library. It's a great place, and I'm really proud of what they do.
Thank you, Kevin. So attached is the commitment to serve, which will be the focus of Stacy's board learning segment under communications. Which I think both of them already signed when we went to orientation last week. So let's move to item 4, election of officers. Every year at our July board meeting, we elect board leadership for the fiscal year. Ryan Johnson presented a slate of officers that was included in your board meeting packet. We vote via SurveyMonkey, and Troy has, I believe, shared the link to everybody already. We will also take nominations from the floor, and board members can self-nominate as well. We will need a motion to close nominations and proceed with the vote when we get to that. Would someone like to make a motion to close nominations?
This is Zach. I'll make a motion to close the nominations.
Thank you, Zach.
This is Stacy. I'll second. Also. Sorry, Ryan.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Stacy. Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Aaron Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield.
You're muted, Loretta.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Did Jenna ever pop in?
I'm in.
Oh, you are in. I'm sorry. Yes, Jenna.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Zach Newell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay, that's everybody. So the ballot is open now for voting. So please go to your text or the email that was sent to you with the link and proceed to vote. Please remember to put your name at the bottom of the ballot and click on the submit to vote or submit vote button at the bottom for it to count. Stacy Bouchong, did you do a vote? How many total votes should I be expecting tonight?
Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think 12.
What I 12, count. Yes.
All right, I have received 12 votes, and big surprise, everyone was voted in unanimously.
So, well, thank you, everybody. I look forward to another year as your president. And I have a very nice executive team. This is going to be great. Okay, well, let's rock and roll and get to some business. Let's go to item 5, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered routine by the board and will be enacted by one motion. Does either item in the consent agenda need to be pulled? Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Yes, you do. This is Karen.
Thank you, Karen. Can I have a second, please?
Second. Linda McDonald.
Thank you, Linda. Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Krause.
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Zach Newell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Let's move to item 6, acceptance of bills of June 2022, attachment 6.1.
I do have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
We have property, we have $100,000 here to vote on or to approve for insurances. We didn't know anything about that. According to the bylaws, the finance committee is to establish criteria for insurance board property fleet carriers, review and approve specifications for these bids, and that wasn't done. So I'm wondering why over $100,000 is put on there for approval when bylaws weren't followed. And my second question is simpler. Do we have a standard for hotel room expenses? Like, do we follow state or their requirements for rooms?
I believe it's the federal per diem rate.
Yes. Yeah, we have a per diem rate for any kind of travel. Normally, we do get the state government rate at a lot of hotels, too, whenever we stay there.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. But the insurance, like I said, I do have a real concern on that.
So the insurance, that total was, like I said, workers' comp, property, auto. So broken down there, you know, it's not, it's comes in several different smaller bills whenever they come in. And yes, you're right with the bylaws. Those were established, you know, criteria was established years ago, I think, with the finance committee. And then we just renew, and we're going to renew based on our broker's recommendation, based on, you know, market fluctuations. We know improvements with buildings and values with that, vehicle value changes, those such things. Usually, whenever we get these quotes in, it's a quick turnaround. But we can, you know, always bring those back to the finance committee whenever we get them. But a lot of times when we're getting them, it's getting renewed at the same time because of the time frame whenever they have get where they're able to get the renewal quotes in a certain like 30 days within the renewal date. So, but like I said, that criteria was, I think, established by the finance committee years ago when those bylaws were created. So what we hold is, you know, what we're by law to hold, you know. So, but the limits and things are suggestions from our broker. But we can start reviewing those with finance committee too.
I just think that they need to be redone on a regular basis, just simply because of our changing world and changing mm-hmm. recommendations and laws, et cetera. So when we see a bill like that, we don't know it's coming. We don't know about the specifications, anything mm-hmm. like that. It is a large amount of money, and I realize it's put together, but it is a large amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Stacy.
This is Stacy. I have a question. I mean, personally, like every 3 years, we go out and, you know, bid like a bunch of different brokers. Do we have some sort of policy that every so often you get quotes from a number of places?
We do. We actually reached out to Lyra this year and they never came back with anything. So it's not the most easiest process to get quotes. A lot of times, you know, we're getting quotes. It's not easy for insurance brokers to do the process. It's not easy for staff to do the process. So it's, you know, we filled out all the applications. Unfortunately, we didn't get anything back from them. But we do go out and our insurance broker gets quotes, you know, if, you know, he's not satisfied with a renewal, he goes out and gets multiple quotes. But they have, you know, we go through Arthur Gallagher, which is also what Lyra is too. So it wasn't a shock necessarily that we weren't getting something back because we already were with a broker within there that actually the Lyra rep said he's going to give you better quotes than we are probably, you know, more than likely. So it, you know, we didn't push that because we knew we were going to, you know, but Arthur Gallagher is one of the largest insurance agencies there are, and they have ties with a lot of large insurance companies. So they have the ability to negotiate with those insurance companies on our behalf. We did, when we looked at those financial policies, like you brought up during the health insurance times, and we talked to the attorney, he said that, you know, he would just suggest, because a lot of organizations do refer to this as a professional service on an insurance broker's ability to do this for us. He said he just suggests we list that specifically in our financial policies, that we also consider that as a professional service, because that is in a lot of public agencies I've talked to, that's what they do too. And they also consider that their professional service, because they're hiring someone, well, not, you know, they have that tie with someone to get them those insurance rates and know all the risk management, have the inside ability to review all that data and know the market, where we don't have a, you know, department specified to do that here in our small organization. So in the process, if we were to go out and bid, and we probably more than likely wouldn't get many people to, you know, respond to a newspaper ad. And if they would, it would be somebody who we'd already probably have some kind of relationship with, and they would feel comfortable doing that for us. And then we'd also be spending a lot of time filling out several applications in-house, and then providing loss runs to everyone that requests them, you know. And so we do rely on a broker to do that for us each year.
What is the brokerage fee that you pay, just out of curiosity?
It's just wrapped into the total, unfortunately. He had it broken down at one time, but I don't have that in front of me. I can't get that and let you know at the next finance committee meeting.
That's fine. I was just curious as to how that would break down.
Okay.
Any further discussion? No? Can I have a motion to accept the June 2022 bills?
We'll make that motion. This is Kelly Sullivan.
Thank you, Kelly. I'll take Karen as that second. Can I have a roll call, please, Stacy?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Zach Newell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Next up is draft June 2022 financial report attachment 7.1. The June financial reports are a draft as a final approved version as part of the FY 2022 audit. But Rhonda is here to give us an overview of this report.
Right. Thanks, Josh. Yes, as Josh mentioned, these are draft financial reports. The finals will be presented in September in the packet, along with the auditor's presentation to the board to review those final financial statements as of June 30th, 2022. And then you'll vote on those at that time. So I'll just highlight some of the items that are in there right now under grant status. Again, IHLS, this was in last month's, they've received 100% of all the funding and approval for all other grants except for the Road to Recovery grant. We've spent all the $25,000 allocation for that grant, but we have we're waiting on $15,614.51 for reimbursement on that grant, and that was in the grant report. That request was in the grant report that was filed this month to the state library. So we should be seeing that, I would think, within the next month. Then remaining percentage left for the IHLS approved FY 2022 budget column should be 0%, since it's at the end of the year. So any items with percentages less than those amounts are noted with an explanation at the bottom of every statement of revenue and expenditure. Going to the general fund under the statement of revenue and expenditures, the year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 0.4%. We did a little bit better on income revenue than what we had, interest income revenue than we had anticipated. So a lot of that has to do with that. Total expenditures, the year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 9.9%. And then in share, the fees for services and materials, year-to-date actuals were $1,441,920.74, which represents 98.4% of the projection for the FY 2022 budget. And as of June 30, we collected 99.1% of that amount. The total expenditures for share year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 7.7%. On the balance sheet side of the general fund, as of June 30th, 2022, the general fund cash balance was $4,975,225.51. And this balance would fund the IHLS general fund operations for approximately 14.2 months based on the FY 2022 approved expenditure levels. And shares balance, cash balance as of June 30th was $2,227,312.58. And that represents $1,100,602 that's in the share reserve funds and $50,139 that's in the committed books for ebook purchases for the cloud subscriptions. And then we have $1,076,570 that's in the unrestricted or the operating cash for share. So that cash would fund share operations for approximately 6.3 months based on their FY 22 operation budget. So, and also that balance includes the $300,000 transfer that IHLS made to share in June. Does anybody have any questions for me on these financial statements? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. So we do not need to approve these this month since it is just a draft. So let's move to Freedom of Information Act request. We did get one. Karen Bounds is our current FOIA officer. Karen, can you tell us about that?
Yes. A commercial FOIA request from Smart Procure was received for purchasing information records. This is a regular quarterly request. It was filled within the time allowed.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. And we don't have anything for Open Meeting Act. Do we have any public comment? Leslie, no? Okay. I'm looking to you for that. Sorry. I was trying to find you on here too. Okay. Okay. Let's go to information item 11. Communication. Leslie?
Good evening, everybody. I want to formally welcome Linda and Kevin to the IHLS board and also say welcome back to Loretta, Josh, and Karen. We're glad that you're on board. The other thing I wanted to express, some of you may already be aware of that the EIU, so our colleague Zach on this board, was the recipient of the Hugh Atkinson Award. That's for resource sharing. That's a pretty high bar that award sets, and that's a testament to the work that you do. So thank you.
Thank you.
And then this evening we have three staff presentations, so we won't delay in getting that going. So the first is Stacey Bouchon. She's gonna talk to you about in our segment called Board Learning.
Good evening, everyone. So tonight, we decided it would be a good idea to talk about the board member commitment to serve, since this is something that our new board members have just agreed to and all of you agreed to in the past. Next, please. Your responsibility as board members is to recognize important responsibility that you are undertaking in serving as a member of the board of directors for the Illinois Heartland Library System. You personally pledge to carry out in a trustworthy and diligent manner all the duties and obligations inherent in your role as a member of the board. We do greatly appreciate the time that you give to the board of IHLS. Your role Each one of you acknowledges your role as a board member to contribute by defining the library system's mission and governing the fulfillment of that mission, and two, to carry out the functions of the office of the board member as specified in the library system's bylaws and policies. You also will focus on the development of board policies that govern implementation of the institutional plans and purposes. This role is separate and distinct from the role of the executive director, to whom is delegated the responsibility of determining the means of implementation of board policies. IHLS board members agree to exercise the duties and responsibilities of this office with integrity, fairness, and due care. You all have pledged to establish as high a priority to attendance at all meetings of the board, committees, and task forces which you serve, to come prepared to contribute to the discussion of the issues and business to be addressed at scheduled meetings, having read the agenda and all background material, and to represent the library system in a positive and supportive manner at all times and in all places, and to support in a positive manner all actions taken by the board of directors, even when you are in the minority position on such actions. You also pledge to refrain from intruding in the administrative issues that are the responsibility of the management, except to monitor the results and prohibit methods not in agreement with board policy. You recognize conflicts of interest between your position as a board member and your personal and professional life. If such a conflict does arise, you declare the conflict before the board and refrain from voting on matters in which you have a conflict. You observe parliamentary procedures outlined in Robert's Rules of Order and display courteous conduct in all board, committee, and task force meetings, and make every effort to learn the job of being a board member and seek methods to help function better as part of the board team. You participate in the annual strategic planning, board self-evaluation programs, and board development workshops, seminars, and other educational events that will enhance your skills as a board member. And if for any reason you find yourself unable to carry out the above duties and responsibilities, you agree to resign your position on the board of directors. We thank you so much for your time and commitment to IHLS members, and we appreciate all your cooperation with meetings and all of the documents that we send you on a regular basis and communications. And to the new board members, I'm looking forward to working with you. And as usual, I look forward to working with the rest of you this next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy.
Next up is Jill Trevino. She's going to talk about an award that we learned about, I believe, at the last board meeting.
Moment to start my screen here. All right. So I'm going to review with you this evening the top places to work survey that was sponsored by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and go over our specific results. So let's begin by talking about who administers the survey. The survey is administered by a company called Energage. They are a survey company that's responsible for collecting all the data. They were founded in 2006. And they have conducted surveys with more than 2 million employees, and over 6,000 organizations participate in these top workplace campaigns. This particular survey was sent to our employees via email on March 21st, and they were given until April 5th to complete the survey. Out of 96 of our employees, 63 of those had responded. So we had a 65.6 participation rate, which is pretty great for our first time completing our survey. So I wanted to go over with you the questions that were specifically asked to our employees. So it consists of several different types of questions. First of all, they collected the demographic questions, talking about how long they've worked here, what best describes their position, what are their earnings for IHLS, and what hub location that they work in. It also talks a little bit in the end about gender identity, race, ethnicity, and your age. So some of the items that were directly related to engagement on our questions were, have I considered searching for a better job in the past month? Does IHLS motivate me to give my very best at work? I would highly recommend working at IHLS to others. Some culture driver questions include feeling genuinely appreciated here at IHLS. Also, making sure that our system operates by strong values, people feel included, they're well informed about important decisions. There's also good interdepartmental cooperation. There's new ideas that are encouraged at IHLS. And IHLS, do we do things efficiently and do we do things well? So those were all some culture driver questions. It also talks about making sure that our employees are feeling like they're part of something meaningful, making sure that their manager helps them learn and grow, making sure that we're encouraging different points of view, making sure that our senior managers understand what's really happening here at IHLS, also making sure that the system enables them to work to their full potential, that their manager generally is concerned and cares about them, and also, do meetings make sense at IHLS, and are they a good use of time, and are we going in the right direction as a company? Some of the basics that are covered within the survey are making sure that the job, has the job failed to meet the expectations? So when they started, is it still the expectations that were originally presented to them? They were asked questions about fair pay, our benefits package, and how do we relate to others in the industry? Also, we talk about flexibility and the need to balance work and personal life. And also, are they receiving formal training for their career? Some other items that were asked, I have confidence in the leader of Illinois Heartland Library System. And also, what are the three best described cultures words at IHLS? Some of the regional specific items covered were, are we dedicated to diversity and inclusiveness? And also employee health and wellness, do we make that a priority here at IHLS? So all these questions were asked of each of our employees. So that's the total of the 26 questions. And they were able to comment on a majority of the questions to elaborate why they, why they answered in the way that they did. So this here is the result of that particular, of those questions, of those 26 questions. So these statements here are comparing IHLS to similar nonprofit companies with 40 to 200 employees. So that's who we were compared against for the survey results. So I want to kind of elaborate a little bit about the circles and kind of what they mean. So the larger circles you'll see in the different colors, in the green and the gray and the red, these are questions that held a greater weight when determining if we were a top workplace company. So the circles in green represent scores that were above the 50th percentile, and the circles in red represent scores that were below the 25th percentile when comparing us to those companies of nonprofit and 40 to 200 employees. So I just want to kind of elaborate, it's not our employees. And the gray that you see in the middle means that we're pretty much aligned with other companies in those particular areas. So I don't know if you can read it. I know it's a little small as far as the font goes, but I'll read some of our higher 50th percentile items. I feel generally appreciated at IHLS. My manager cares about my concerns. New ideas are encouraged at IHLS. IHLS enables me to work to my full potential, and my manager helps me learn and grow. So this is very exciting to hear that our employees are really feeling cared for and are really happy about being appreciated here at IHLS. So the areas that we were in line with those other nonprofit companies were, do we do things efficiently and well? That we have good interdepartmental cooperation, that they feel well-informed about decisions here at IHLS, they feel included here at IHLS, and my job makes me feel like I am part of something meaningful. Areas of improvement that were identified were that senior managers understand what is really happening at IHLS, that they believe IHLS is going in the right direction. Also, that we encourage different points of view, meetings at IHLS, not making good use of time, and also operating by strong values. So this is this survey, what I would like to really focus on too, is all about engagement. And engagement, and what exactly does that mean? So engagement means that our employees are highly motivated, and that means that the company gives them their very best, motivates them to do their very best here at work, that they're committed to staying, that they're not going anywhere. They haven't looked for a job in the past month, that they're really content here at IHLS. And then also willing to recruit others. I would highly recommend working at this company to others. That is the greatest compliment is when we have our employees refer other employees to work here at our organization. So when we talk about engagement, what they wanted to look at was how engaged is IHLS overall? So the great thing is that we have 71% of employee engagement, which is a fabulous percentage. You can see here, the chart basically shows those individuals that are deeply disengaged, which are 5% of those that completed our survey. And that means employees answered maybe strongly negative to at least one of the engagement statements. Disengaged was 24%. Employees answered neutral or lower on at least one of the engagement statements. 55% were engaged, which employees answered slightly positive or higher to all of the three engagement statements. And then enthusiastically engaged would be 16% of those individuals that participated in our survey, meaning that they answered positively to all three of the engagement statements. So what I want to talk to you about right now, I'm going to go over some of the comments that were received. So this is the first time that we participated in a survey of this nature. So I want to explain to you the comments, why we didn't receive every comment on our particular survey. So Energage makes its money by charging companies to receive all of this data. So that is why you won't see every single comment in the next slides that I'm going to go ahead and present. We did reach out to them and said, well, we really need a few comments of examples that could be provided to us should we ever in the future decide to gather this data again. So the examples you'll see in the next few slides talk about what our employees said. These are exact verbatim comments from our employees on the questions that were asked. So the positives you're going to see in green, and then the negative comments you're going to see in red. So again, like I mentioned, the cost to purchase that entire data package, it was not in our budget. This is the first time we did it. So we're excited to at least have some results and look at how our employee population is when compared to other organizations. So I'm going to go over some of these employee comments. So our first question was, why would you recommend working at Illinois Heartland Library System? The benefits package is a big plus. That's a great factor to hear. IHLS, strong values, work-life balance, and recognizes that employees have and should have healthy, fulfilling lives in and outside of the job. IHLS also offers an extremely attractive benefits package to full-time employees, which also promotes this value in the work-life balance. Great group of people that work here. The work-life balance is great. I love my job and I love working at IHLS. I think the benefits are fair, the working conditions are great, and I like everyone I work with. I also feel Leslie Bednar does a great job of managing IHLS. The next one is, what makes you hesitant to recommend people to work at IHLS? So that was a few people have toxic attitudes that sour the culture for others, lack of communication, and I do not see a future. Okay, we're gonna go to the next one. So the next question on employee comments was, what do you find most meaningful about work at IHLS? Excuse me while I take a quick drink. Helping libraries be strong centers in their communities. I find helping other member libraries very gratifying, but I think we have strayed from that focus. I love that I find meaning in my work every day. The work we do at IHLS helps provide a backbone of services to local libraries that in turn benefits many different communities throughout Central and Southern Illinois. The cataloging maintenance also provides free cataloging services to all libraries in Illinois with certain types of collections, which I think is an absolutely invaluable service for many libraries with historical or rare collections. The next comment was helping our member libraries to be even more to their communities. So the next question focused on, well, what is getting in the way of you feeling that your job, how can we be more meaningful? So not sure how my job fits into the larger picture of what the company does. Too much control, not enough communication. Being included in departmental discussions, especially if it includes aspects of a departmental job. Others may have good ideas and or reasons why a change is good or bad. So we'll go on to the next question here, which is, what about Illinois Heartland Library System is motivating to you? Great supervisor right now, and most of the drivers are great too. The opportunity to catalog unique items. IHLS is continuously coming up with new creative ideas to provide services to members. We are always evolving with technology in all departments. And the last one is providing services to libraries. So the next question asks, what gets in the way of you feeling motivated? I guess it's just the non-inclusion and feeling my opinion doesn't matter. There's not much recognition for those who work hard. I have a lot of downtime, which is good and bad. I enjoy the flexibility, but I don't feel like I can pick up more responsibility because I am not circulation catalog trained. So when like that comes to me, I'm immediately in over my head. So now I wanna talk to you about our improvement plan in things that were identified here in the survey, what we would like to do to make those better. So we are right now in the process of updating our performance appraisal system. So we are going to designate a new performance appraisal system that will help each employee identify how they fit within the organization and help them understand how their work impacts our member libraries. We also are going to have it recognize top performers by incorporating rewards for top performers. We're going to do a lot of goal setting. So we are implementing a section to incorporate the operational plan goals. And this is to ensure that goal achievement is successful and that our managers give employees the tools to achieve those goals. And also, it's going to have a focus on professional and personal development as a goal. So this new process, we're you know, about 50% done with it, but we are working on it and we want it to be more interactive. It shouldn't just be the manager telling the employee what to do. It should be an inclusive process to where everybody decides what is in the best interest of the company, of the person, how do they want to take their role here at IHLS, and what can we do to help them grow within the organization. Another identifier was just enhancing communication. So we're going to try to focus on channeling communication from the top down through departmental meetings, but also find ways to have communication flow from the bottom to the top. We're going to bring all levels of employees to both supervisor and leadership meetings to present ideas and to learn more about the organization. One great thing that was implemented here in the past few months is just our engagement team. This team was formed to celebrate the successes and coordinate employee appreciation events consistently through all the hubs. We have high five meetings. These meetings focus on departmental updates, and they also allow for employees to ask questions. And we have a fun team building breakout session to build relationships among staff that may not get to see each other, whether it be from a different hub or a different department. On the meeting side, we're going to make sure that our meetings have a focus and agenda items so that way we can respect the employees' use of time. And also, we're going to try to implement no meeting Fridays to give employees just one day to focus on tasks without having those constant meeting interruptions. So the great thing about this is that in our first time competing and participating in this particular survey, we are a top place winner for the St. Louis Dispatch survey. So there were 2,499 Greater St. Louis organizations that were invited to compete, and only 183 were selected as regional winners. So I think that is just a fabulous accomplishment, and it says a lot about IHLS and who we are. Some great things that come with this award are that we can use this badge on our media materials, we can recruit top talent. Hopefully we're gonna go ahead and plan to participate next year, and hopefully we'll be able to compare the data and evaluate the results from this survey to next year's survey. But most importantly, we have our employees to thank for this honor. Without them, without their input, without what they do every day, we would not be here. So I want to share with you the celebrations that we had today at all of our hub locations. So you will see on this particular slide, it consists of our Edwardsville hub location and our Carbondale hub location. And employees celebrating, we had some popcorn treats, we raffled off some gift cards, we had some candies. We also had IHLS Top Workplaces pens. And as you can see from all the smiling faces on this particular slide, and we can't forget our champagne hub. Here's our pictures from our champagne hub enjoying today's celebration. So thank you very much. Can I answer any questions for anybody? No? Okay. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to present today.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome.
And thanks, Jill and Stacy. And then the last one we're going to share with you a little more about where we are with our new website, and that's Troy Brown.
Hey, everybody. I was going to put this together in this presentation, but I just feel like I need to talk to everybody and just kind of bring you up to date. For those of you who've been on the board for a long time, you're probably tired of hearing or reading about updates to the website and everything that's happened. But I know there's several new people or people that have come in the middle of this process. So I just want to kind of go back and tell you about all the things that have happened to kind of delay this project and where we are today and where we're going to go going forward. First of all, February of 2020, and it hurt me to write that date, we signed our first contract with Red Rock. It was our selected vendor from the RFP process to start rebuilding the website. Talks were good. We liked the company. However, COVID, and it was a big hit because they were actually from the Washington area. And if you remember, a week or two before COVID hit us, it hit Central Washington, and they had the shutdowns before we did. That company shut down, and we put everything on hold for several months while their company dealt with COVID, and also while we dealt with COVID also and transitioned to that work from home environment. Unfortunately, the impact of COVID was devastating for that company, and they were unable to continue. No money was spent with our first vendor, so we all gracefully exited the contract, and IHLS looked for our next vendor. We decided to go with the number two selection from the RFP process. That vendor was named Amex. Amex is a much larger company with programmers all over the world. And I will reiterate that this was our first real attempt at outsourcing development. We'd done a lot of things in-house. We were doing a lot of things in-house simultaneously. And we were just like, okay, how can we get more things done? And we decided to offload this one. So working with and communicating with Amex was difficult from the very beginning, primarily because there was a big time difference between us and the team leaders on the web development team, but we got around it and we communicated great through email and meetings. There was a language barrier that we worked around, and we had to ask for some, clarification on things, the working style of the groups. And we never had real collaboration between the two companies. We were really looking for a partner to help us decide what was the best way to move forward. And they were really looking for someone to tell them exactly what to do. So it was like, this is what we want. This is how we want it to work. And boom, boom, boom. And they would just do it exactly that way, where we were looking more for a conversation of how do other people do this? How, you know, what's the best way to do it in the industry? And it never worked that way. But they were producing outcomes. We were getting sample web pages. We were getting drafts. We were getting documentation. But the big kicker came whenever it was time to migrate the data. Their idea of migration was vastly different than ours, and our goals were just not being met. We were not seeing what we wanted. And one day I received an email to actually close the project because they had determined that they had reached all the goals of the assignment and were ready for me to sign off on the project. And I pretty much blew up on them. I said, that is unacceptable. We are nowhere near completion. And the fact that you even think that you could send this with the option of signing off on this just completely infuriated me. And so after a short conversation, we turned off their access to the development and staging servers. We informed them via email that that we were disappointed and that we wouldn't be paying them their last payment of the contract. IHLS staff took over the project. We had to reverse engineer several things on the site and the development. There was a lot that was good, but far too much that was still disappointing. And we're still going through and fixing issues that we had asked for from the beginning that were never done. I could go into the things they did wrong, but I'm not going to. It just realized that we were not happy as a team. It was never our intent to delay this project, but we have certain areas of the site that need to be complete and up to date with new information before we can go live. Once the new website is more useful than the current one, we will go live. But I hesitate to put a firm date on it. We are making good progress every day. Shandy and Brandt have, and Carol have a system of submitting issues into a software package, and Brandt is informed. It's kind of like a help desk ticket, but it's designed for developers. Those are getting inputted, they're getting fixed, and they're getting prioritized, and it's really great. Our to-do list is still growing as we discover things that need to change, and that list will continue to grow even after we go live. We're trying to get our highest priority changes done first so that we can go live as soon as possible. However, there's a lot of content that just can't simply be brought over from the old site. It must be recreated. And that is really going to be a time-consuming task. I do want to give a huge shout out to Brant and the IT department, Shandy in marketing, and Carol in communications for their continued efforts. And of course, Danielle, who is no longer in the communications department, but took a different position here at IHLS, also put a lot of effort into getting us this far. We knew this was a big project, and in fact, it's enormous. We want to get it done right, and every day we see progress, but we're just not there yet. I do want to pass the baton over to Shandy now, who will show you a couple of the highlights. But remember, the content on the pages is still being written, so if you see some Latin, be assured that it won't stay there. So go ahead, Shandy, you can take over.
All right. So hi, everyone. I'm Shandy, the marketing coordinator, and I have, as Troy said, I've been working with Brant and Troy and Danielle and Carol on getting this content ready to go and making sure it's not just as useful as our current website, but more useful. We had identified over the last couple of years prior to starting the redevelopment, we had been, looking for and collecting feedback from librarians, from staff, from our Google Analytics data to really figure out exactly what we need, where the pain points are, how it could be more useful, what features we'd like to have that we're missing. And we came up with a pretty good framework. And just as Troy said, keep in mind that some of these sections, I'm not going to show everything, so there's not time, but I'm going to show you some of the highlights, and some of the sections are definitely more polished than others, so we will get there. So let me go ahead and share. And here is the homepage of our new website. So welcome, everyone. So first, I'll show you, I'm going to give you a little tour of our homepage. First, we have the slider section where we can actually feature up to four items of our choosing. It might be a section of our website. It might be a news item. We've got a very brief who you are, who we are section, which takes us to our full about us section. This was completely missing from our last website. A staff spotlight where we can choose who to highlight and for how long. So we can change that as often or as little as we'd like. Our latest news preview. So most of this will be in our, on another page, but the most recent items will show up here, and there's an easy link to a see all. Same thing with our library jobs. We still have our job board page, but we also have a preview on our homepage with easy access to all of them. We have two spots where we can highlight programs such as our cataloging maintenance center and share or anything else we want to, as well as a link, an easy to find link to subscribe to our news and our building closure text alerts. So back to the top, you'll see our navigation bar. Like our old website, we have our About Us section, a members area, and a job board. The job board is now semi-automated, which will make it much easier for your libraries to get your library positions live and online. And the other sections that you'll see are new. So the About section is, the About section is very similar to our current website, but I did want to point out the menu here. So you'll find this in most sections on the new website, and it makes it really easy to navigate to the subsections without leaving the landing page. So we have some new pages here, and you'll also see our board of directors page, which I thought you guys would be interested in. So I wanted to show you this newer page, which is a lot more, it's a lot easier to use and condensed than our other page was. So we have some links that'll jump you down on the page. We have our menu that takes it to other sections. If I expand it, then it won't necessarily, there you go. It won't necessarily show like that, but I have my notes on the side of the page here so that you can't see, so I'm going to keep it sized like this. This one section now has all of the board meeting docs for all of the committees. So you can actually search by year, you can search by month, you can search by committee type, and it'll pull all of them up right here. So these will still contain the agenda, the minutes, the summaries, the action summaries. It can also include an access link for the meeting. So you can find that both in the agenda, but also right there. All in one place. You can also still find the meeting schedules, the public comment form, the area with all the board photos, and a list of all our committees right here. So next up is, okay, back to the navigation bar. The news section and the events section are both new. They're fairly self-explanatory. The issues in librarianship section, that is a new section where we will have all a bunch of easy to find, easy to access resource guides to things that you need to know about right now. So that's where our COVID page is located. That's where our book challenges page is located. And we'll also have an archive section for things that may not be as immediately relevant or maybe somewhat out of date, but may still be useful, like when we had the McNaughton embargoes page. So that will still live like in an archive section. Let's see, the members section is a little different from our current website because we've kind of split some of that stuff out. So what will be in the new members section is membership requirements for new members, membership requirements for existing members. Here's, you know, exactly what to do to make sure you retain your membership. It'll include things like the annual certification. It'll also have pages specifically for each library type. So you don't have to go all over the website. You can go to one page to find that stuff that's specifically for you guys. Then the rest of those items are moved into our services section. So this section is probably the least polished out of all of them. So it's probably going to look very different the next time you see it. But I wanted to show you this page because the menu is very large because a lot of the subsections are in here. So we've got delivery in here. Ooh, says my internet connection is unstable. So please let me know if you guys can't hear me. Or have any problems. I'll try to keep a lookout for that.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So this is where our delivery section will be with all those tools. The delivery section actually has a help desk now with an FAQ. We've still got our grants database, a section that includes partner services, such as the My Library Is website. We have a new library policies database where libraries can search by topic for examples of library policies, and you can submit your own. We have a continuing education learning hub where that'll house articles and videos. And when we have our expanded consulting services off the ground, that'll have its own page too. When all of these are ready to go, we will then start on some additional user testing. We'll be able to make our final changes. We'll make sure to send every single page through our proofing team, and we'll be able to get that website live. So thank you guys. That is your website sneak peek.
Thanks, Shandy. And I'm here to answer any questions as best I can, but that's it. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Does anyone have any questions? Okay, let's go to staff report attachment 12.1. Anyone have any questions about the staff report? Can I have a motion to approve the staff report?
This is Stacy, so moved.
Thank you, Stacy. Can I have a second, please?
Now that I'm unmuted, you may have a second.
Thank you, Karen. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounce?
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield?
Katz. Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Linda McDonald. Linda McDonald. I see her say yes.
Yes.
Zach Newell.
I didn't mute. Sorry.
That's okay. Zach Newell.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
And Kelly Sullivan.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion carried. Leslie, do you have some or something from Susan here?
Yeah, I just 1 minute. I wanted to share something from Susan Palmer. About Susan Palmer more than from her. So if you saw in the staff report, she retired at the end of last week, and so she's been with Library Systems for around 2 decades. With us, our legacy library systems, and also with Rails. So she brought a lot of experience and a lot of new ideas to the organization when she started working with us 8 years ago. And a lot of that speaks to her love of and advocacy on behalf of libraries. She really is a library advocate, even in the grocery line. And I've been in a grocery line with her, and I can tell you that's what she would do to total strangers. And she also just wanted to express her support from our appreciation for the support of the board for the different initiatives that she undertook throughout the years. And also wanted to let you know, although I don't believe that you would have any concern about this, that her staff that work with the department that works with her are more than capable of any emergencies, any things that come up in her absence or before we move and hire someone else in her place. And because they're wonderful, fabulous professionals that are running the department. So thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm really going to miss Susan. She's one of the most engaged, positive people when it comes to support for libraries. And I hope we can find someone a fraction as excited as she is. I think, so that's all I got. Let's go to secondary employment. Has everyone had a chance to look at the secondary employment? Sorry, I'm taking Leslie's line. Leslie, go ahead.
You're good. Any questions about it? They're in the staff intranet. I mean, the board intranet.
Would someone like to approve the secondary employment?
It's like Kevin. So move.
Thank you, Kevin. Can this I have a second, Karen, please? Second. Thank you, Karen. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounce.
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Zach Newell.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried. We do not need a closed session this evening, so let's move to the Illinois State Library Report.
Good evening. Greetings from the Illinois Secretary of State, Jesse White, and the Illinois State Library. Greg's not with us this evening, so I am the designated person. We've been very busy awarding grants, and this past week we awarded $26.8 million in grants to libraries and literacy programs. And those encompass adult, family, and workplace literacy, library systems funding, Illinois Library Delivery System funding, radio information services, and Project Next Generation grants. Right now, we're finalizing awards for what will be the last distributions from the $50 million Public Library Construction Act grant program. Eligible libraries had until June 30th to demonstrate moving to meet the matching requirements. The only other thing that I had to mention was the Illinois Library System annual reports are due September 30th. And that is all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Could I ask a quick question that's connected with the library and maybe a little off topic, but could I ask a real quick question of Pat?
Go ahead.
Our library got from Jesse White and the Illinois State Library asking us on the Illinois Public Library per capita and equalization aid grant. It was asking us about a tax rate. Do you know anything about that or who I could refer my director to ask?
You talk to their county.
Okay. All right. Is there any reason they're asking us this? Because it's related to the grant or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all wrapped into eligibility based on fairness and tax rates. And that's about the most I know. I will say I would have to get my green book out and start reading it to you. And I don't have it with me. I'm at home right now.
I can't. No, that's fine. I just, but,
feel free to call our office or call me and we'll work with you on explaining that further.
Okay. I'll refer my librarian. I'll give him that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It all has to do with equitability and trying to even out all of those variances based on how different communities are taxed.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just got mine to county clerk.
Pardon me?
I just got my tax rate document in the mail today from the county clerk's office.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go to committee reports. This is going to be real short. Executive met last Monday. We went over pretty much everything you're talking about tonight here. And that's the only committee that met last month. So we have no report from anyone else. So let's go to unfinished business. Automatic material handler. Leslie?
Thank you, Josh. Just want to give you a quick update. We did have our first meeting with our consultant, Greg Pronovitz, as we reviewed the responses from the four vendors and our goal, because we have other things going on like an audit and getting ready for the annual report, is that we would bring you a report at the September board meeting. And we will also be sharing any additional information we glean with the facilities committee in September as well. So stay tuned. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Leslie? Okay. Hearing none, let's go to FY 2022 Edwardsville Building Improvements.
We are currently gathering quotes and information from contractors for the repair or the replacement of that roof of our Edwardsville building. We anticipate we would be able to share some information with the facilities committee at their August meeting. And that's our first step in what we're going to do going forward. So you should hear more at the August meetings. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay. FY 2023 board meetings. At executive, we talked about two points with the with board meetings. We talked about in May and June about the frequency of in-person meetings this fiscal year and what in-person means. We all kind of more or less decided on two in-person meetings. We decided that the annual meeting would be in person and that this year will be at the Carbondale office on October 25th. And then that the last meeting of the fiscal year in June, we would meet in person as we send off our board members. And we say in person, I guess it's more question up to us as a board. Do we want everyone at the same space? Do we want people split above our three hubs? if there's a, I know we've met at other libraries in the past, and obviously if it's not convenient for you, I know many of you are far away from one of our hubs, that if you could still attend by Zoom if that works for you. And if, especially if you're going to be the only person at an office or a library, you know, we've had many times where like Stacy would probably be the only person now with Bev gone, it would make more sense for her to just stay home rather than drive. So this is more of a conversation to kind of see what works best for everyone else and what people think about that.
My first question is, why not have the annual meeting at a more centralized location? Because you're asking a lot of people to go south a long way. Why not more centralized so it's less driving for everybody, or Edwardsville?
I can answer that. It's okay, Josh.
Sure, go ahead.
So we like to rotate it between our hubs. And since there are three, currently there are no building projects going on at the Carbondale hub, and the two other buildings, Champaign and Edwardsville, are in the middle of some kind of building or improvement. So we'd like, when you see those buildings, you're welcome to come anytime you want to, of course. But when you see those buildings, we'd like them to be as complete as they can be, project wise. So, and it is about time for us to go down to our Carbondale hub.
Wasn't our last one in Champaign?
I believe it was.
I think it was
in Edwardsville.
Edwardsville.
And Champaign was right before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had one in Edwardsville and then COVID hit. That's like, at least for me, we had the one in Edwardsville, COVID hit, and then we've been doing Zoom since. So that's kind of what we're aiming for. Obviously, like, I know we talked about, like, a great example is Tammy. Tammy's really not close to anything. Kelly's almost in Indiana. so it would be, or not Indiana, Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
So it would make sense for them to still be on Zoom. We don't expect you to all, you know, especially if you're far from Carbondale. I'm lucky I can carpool with Leslie. But it's a haul. So if you can't make it, we get it. So any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, we'll aim to be in October in Carbondale. I'm excited. I've never been to the Carbondale office. So, okay. New business, election of Freedom of Information Officer. Last year, Karen Bounds served as that. And I would entertain a motion to Karen continue as our Freedom of Information Act officer, if she is willing.
So moved, if she's willing.
Second.
She's willing.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. We have a motion in a second. Can I have a roll call vote, Stacey?
I'm sorry. Who made the motion in the second again?
Sorry, Stacey. Ryan. I made the motion, Ryan Johnson.
Ryan, okay.
And then we had Stacey Carter a second.
Okay. Thank you. Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Stacey Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Zach Newell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried. Thank you, Karen.
It's okay. Troy does all the work, so...
Okay, let's go to next is item B, election of Open Meeting Act officer. Ryan Johnson served in this capacity of 2022. I know Ryan is a very busy man this year, but Ryan, do you think you'd be willing to do that again this year?
Yes, it's good practice.
Okay.
This is Stacy. I nominate Ryan Johnson as the Open Meetings Act officer.
This is Karen.
This is Zach. I second.
Thank you, Stacy. Thank you, Karen. We have a motion and a second. Stacy, can I have one more roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Zach Newell.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Ryan. Let's go to item C, our August committee and board meetings. It's attachment 16.1. So please take a look at the listings of committee and board meetings for August. Since if you're interested in swapping committees this year, or if you're new like Linda and Kevin, if you'd like to check out what a committee does, if you're interested in joining it, feel free to pop in. And also, this kind of leads into item D, by the end of July, so the end of this month, try to reach out to me with what board committees you're willing to serve on. And it says end of July, but that's like a couple days away. So just let me know before the next large full board meeting, or executive board meeting, I should say. And I will bring my recommendations to the board in August. So hopefully if you've got one preference, send me that. If you've got two, I'll try to be accommodating, try to put all the puzzle pieces together. Okay. And thank you for everyone who participated in the board communication survey. We'll have those results available at the August board meeting. And that takes us to agenda building. Does anyone have any topics they would like added to the August board meeting agenda?
The only thing I would like to see is discussion, and maybe that'll be part of the discussion from the communication survey, is I'd like to see a actual report from Leslie monthly. We see reports of what every department does, but we don't see a report on her life. So I would like to at least have that for discussion.
Okay. Is that something you'd like to make a motion for, since we've moved to that, to have a motion and a second to add things to the agenda?
Then I would like to make a motion that the director makes a report to the board about, in essence, her department, to be placed on the agenda.
This is Ryan. I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, Stacy, can I have a roll call?
Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Loretta, I don't think she heard you.
Loretta. Yes. Okay, thank you. Stacy Carter.
Abstain.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Jenna Griffith.
Yes. Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
I'll abstain. Yes.
Tammy Kraus. Tammy Kraus. Linda McDonald.
I abstain.
Zach Newell.
Yes.
Josh Short.
I'll also abstain.
Kelly Sullivan.
No.
And I'm going to go back to Tammy. Tammy, are you there? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further? Tammy, are you there? I saw her audio quick. Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Kevin, go ahead.
Well, I do have a question about that. Is that going to be a standing report, or is that going to be just this next month? Because it wasn't clear in the motion.
I would like to see it as a standing report, and a lot of it is based on, we do an evaluation but yet we don't have some of that information on, like I said, a direct report from her and her office. So
I thought we were just talking about whether we were at the next board meeting, whether we were going to make that a requirement.
Yes.
So we'll go into that in my perception was at the next board meeting, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any further public comment? Any announcement?
I really appreciate the link that was sent out. So thanks for sending that. It was much easier to get on.
Thank you, Jenna. Mm-hmm. I have an announcement. I think I make this announcement quite often, but I'm on the ILA reporter committee. So if anyone is willing to contribute an article to the magazine, please reach out to me. And also, Leslie had asked me to highlight that be sure to sign up an L2 so we know we have a quorum, or at least let us know if you're going to make it so we're not scrambling to make sure we have enough people for tonight. It is 6:26. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You have it.
Thank you, Karen. Do I have a second?
Second, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. Stacy, can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Brimfield?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus? Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Tammy, are you there? Zach yes. Newell?
Yes. Yes. We've crossed the Wisconsin border, so it's cell service is a bit dodgy right now.
That's okay. So you're a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Zach Newell?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you for all of your time this evening. I look forward to this upcoming year with everyone. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.